We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Welcome to Small Talk, a show about small business for small business. Here's your host, Mark S. Lee.
Good morning and welcome to Small Talk with Mark S. Lee on this beautiful weekend morning in the Motor City. As you know, this is your source for entrepreneurship across the great city of Detroit, the state of Michigan, as well as across the country, because this show is streamed nationally via radio.com. And this first segment is, in fact, brought to you by Michigan.com. Doug, good morning. How you doing?
I'm here.
Yeah.
It's days are getting shorter, but the weather's beautiful today. It's going to be great.
I know. I was fine until you said the days are getting shorter.
I'm sorry.
Speaking of days getting shorter, did you watch our beloved this past Thursday against the Patriots?
Caught a bit of it. Too early to tell. But, you know, who knows?
That's about
right. Hope springs eternal.
Hope springs eternal for the last 50, 60 years. And for those of you across the country, you know, I call them my beloveds. Yes, my Detroit Lions. And the exhibition season just started this past Thursday against the Patriots. They had joint practices this past week here in the Motor City with the Patriots. And, Doak, this upcoming week, they have a joint practice down in Houston. As well. So,
exactly.
Yeah, yeah. All right, as you know, we want you all to sit back and relax and enjoy that nice hot cup of coffee, as I always like to say. And I have a very special guest, and she is no stranger to Small Talk with Mark S. Lee, a dear friend of mine. She's doing some wonderful things here in Detroit, Miss Victoria Katansky, and she is the Executive Director of Hatch Detroit. Victoria, good morning. Thanks for joining me.
Good morning. Hi, Mark. How are you?
I'm doing just fine. How are you doing, young lady?
Very well, thank you.
Good, good. Well, it's that time of the year, and you know what I'm talking about. Explain to our listeners what time of the year it is for you.
Yeah, so it's the beginning of the Comerica Hatch Detroit contest, which is an entrepreneurial contest that is sponsored by Comerica Bank that our company Hatch Detroit puts on. And the winner of the contest will receive a $100,000 prize and several hundreds of thousands of dollars in pro bono services.
$100,000 this year. This is the first time that you've increased it. In past years, it's been $50,000. So, Victoria, why the increase to $100,000?
Well, it's really talking through what was happening in the entrepreneurial market with our partners at Comerica Bank, and really the cost of opening a small business in the city of Detroit has increased since we started the program in 2011. So we went and kind of explained the rise in costs and what was happening to entrepreneurs and, you know, to Comerica, and asked them to kind of still continue to give them the support that they have, but more in line with what they need in 2019. And they came through 100% for us and understood the problem and realized that $100,000 would be a lot more helpful for small businesses in this expensive market.
Yeah, yeah. And yeah, you and I, you know, it's been around for a while this year, this contest. What year is this going to be, by the way? What year?
Gosh, you put me on the spot. We've been around since 2011.
Okay, so eighth year, right?
Yeah.
Okay. But my question is, sort of watch you grow and evolve, and certainly, you know, you and I got into a wonderful conversation this past week, and I know you were in Chicago, and we were talking about the importance of retailers and independent retailers as it relates to Detroit. Why don't you kind of give your perspective, because I know you spent some time in Chicago. You're doing some business, I get it. So what's your perspective about what's happening in Chicago? And let's compare and contrast that with the independent scene here in the Motor City.
Sure. So I actually do come here just to read some of the submissions and keep myself in a very clean, focused space that is just with me and then with you, Mark, for the show.
Mm-hmm.
But Chicago is interesting. Over time, it's just become very inundated with national chains. That's what I'm seeing most in downtown. And each time I come back, you know, it's very true. It's very hard for a small retailer to stay afloat. You know, it's most of them don't make it a full year. And that's what I've seen around here is that the independent retailer isn't lasting the full year. A lot of it is just the amount of money that they need to keep their space up and running in the city. And I think it's just also, you know, we talked about this in depth. Mm-hmm. That's what makes Detroit so independent retail makes it so unique. And making sure that we continue to support that group makes our city different than every other city. As much as, you know, Chicago is an awesome city and nothing bad to say. Beautiful architecture, wonderful water. I mean, it really is a great city. But in the area that I'm staying in, there's nothing really independent at all. It's mm-hmm. all national chain.
Interesting. And I, by the way, I do want to say hi to my friends in Chicago. I know that we do have people listening in the Windy City. And we got into another conversation, Victoria, where I share with you, I did live in Chicago for 12 years. And I know exactly what you're saying. I everybody knows I got my MBA from Northwestern University in Evanston, Illinois. But I actually lived in downtown Chicago, lived in Metro Chicago, as they say Chicagoland, for a total of 10 years. And I spent 6 years living in downtown Chicago in the South Loop area, in an area called Dearborn Park. Then we moved out to the suburban areas. The reason I point that out is, and this is very germane to Detroit, is when I moved to that part of the city in 1986, that was an urban prairie. There was nothing there. There's literally nothing there. I lived across the street from Chicago Police Headquarters by 9th and State Street, and we had very little retail, very little housing. But then, you know, you go over there today, there's probably 50,000 people living in that neighborhood, and certainly they've done a nice job of attracting, you know, people to live there. And then to your point about the retailers, I'm sure they've had a lot of turnover, when it comes to some of those retailers in that area. So let's take that over to Detroit. And as Detroit continues to go through its transformation, Hash Detroit is really focused on the independent retailers and getting businesses open. So why is that so important here when you compare it to Chicago as an example?
I can't really speak to it not being important here. I just think that a lot of independent retailers at first glance seem to have been priced out.
Mm-hmm.
What I can say is that that's what makes it so important to me to ensure that our independent retailers have a chance of succeeding in the city of Detroit, Hamtramck, or Highland Park. You know, I miss the times of going to different cities and seeing, you know, getting, you know, like people come to Lafayette, Coney Island, and you can't get that anywhere else. You know, Sister Pie, you can't get it anywhere else. That sort of missing here, and even the local restaurants that made it big have become more local chains and lost that ambiance, that just that feeling of going somewhere that's the original.
I guess
what I want to say is that it just seems as though we have an opportunity with the development of Detroit to learn from what other cities have done right and have done wrong or have done differently than we'd like to be going forward. And I just hope that we take the time in our planning and in our retail attraction programs and in the programs that support local entrepreneurs, that we take that into consideration and really make sure that our independent retailers have as much of an even playing field in this, you know, in this market as somebody with a lot of cash
mm-hmm.
up front.
Mm-hmm. And that's what makes the Comerica Hash Detroit contest special is, you know, you've been doing it for 7 or 8 years and you've had a lot. I love when you tell the story while you've had people, and I've been fortunate enough to certainly announce the last several grand prize winners along with you. But I love the fact you tell the story that, yes, you do have a grand prize winner, but all of the people who participate, they become finalists, they're actually part of that Hash Detroit family. So they're also winners as well. Is that right?
Yeah, I mean, we really want to work with all of our top 10 that go through the program. Some of them realize from coming through the contest that they actually don't want to open. And some of them, so, I mean, how great is that? They don't spend the money that other people do to find out that it's not for them just by, you know, their product research and everything that they learn from going through the contest itself. And then we also want to help all the people that, you know, bank on the recognition they got from the community buy-in that they've gotten, even if they don't win. We're really trying to work with our local sponsors, such as Hamilton Anderson and Giffels Webster, Honigman, to get some pro bono services for them so that if we can't support them with a cash prize, we can at least support them with technical assistance and pro bono support.
We are talking to Victoria Katansky, and she's the executive director for Hash Detroit for our friends across the country. It's a nonprofit doing some great things, and they're focused on really helping businesses to certainly get started, but they also provide ongoing services to those businesses that have been in business for a while here in Detroit. And Victoria, you know, as I'm thinking about the past couple of years, the past few years with this program, for example, I remember it was a Bible Fair, I believe, right? Bible mm-hmm. Fair in 2017, they were winner, and they were so humbled when they won that contest. And I remember they're about to open up a restaurant. Is it later this year? Is it in the Midtown area? Is that correct?
Yeah. So we're in the process of just finalizing their loans. They've been approved for everything. We just need to close on them, and then construction will be starting. We hope within the next 4 weeks.
Mm-hmm. And then last year, if I recall, I believe it was Toma Detroit out of Southwest, I believe.
The partners are all from born and raised in Southwest Detroit, and they'll be opening their business on Michigan Avenue, hopefully towards the middle of next year.
Let me tell you about this lady here on the phone, because she's humble. She has put her heart and soul into this organization and into this contest. And you might be watching the Tiger Games. I know that we'll come back. We have a couple minutes, but the deadline has passed. But you are watching the Tiger Games. I know they're struggling, but I watch them anyway because I support my home team, win or lose. But you saw all the commercials, you know, supporting Hash Detroit in this contest. And this lady on the phone, Victoria Katansky, has given her heart and soul. She is a hard-down, hard-line Detroiter, and she wants every business in this city to be successful. I have known her for several years, and to watch her passion continue to increase every single year. Victoria, we are very lucky in this city to have you leading this program, certainly on behalf of Hash Detroit, but obviously the Comerica Hash Detroit contest. We are very lucky to have you doing this. Why are you so passionate about this?
Well, first of all, thank you. That's very kind. You know, it's hard to say. I've always been passionate about the city. I know I mentioned to you before that my father was an entrepreneur, owned a small bar, neighborhood bar in Southwest Detroit, that I learned a lot just from being there and, you know, seeing his commitment to community. I think entrepreneurs, especially independent retailers, do far more than just give us a product, especially the ones that come through the hatch doors. They transform community. And I think that's what's so exciting for me, is to see what a difference and an impact such a small business can make on an entire neighborhood, from providing job opportunities to activating a space that was one time vacant, or, you know, to providing food or a service that was needed in the community for several years.
Yeah.
It's really, you know, the core of building a city is through what the retail offerings and the social offerings are. And I think there's no better way to do it with independent entrepreneurs.
Well, I'm up against the clock, so I'm 15 seconds or less. I know the deadline has passed, so quickly, what's the next step of the contest?
Yeah, so we're going to be announcing the top 10 in September, actually on September 27th. And then have it open for vote for everyone in the public at hatchdetroit.com.
Outstanding. Victoria Katansky, we wish you a lot of success this year. And thank you for calling in and sharing the good news about the Comerica Hash Detroit contest. Making a great day.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. We'll be more guests at this commercial break on Small Talk with Marcus Lee. Good morning. Welcome back to Small Talk with Marcus Lee on this beautiful, yes, beautiful weekend morning in the Motor City. I know August is going pretty fast, and we get it. So we want you to sit back and enjoy each and every day of the warm weather. Doug, you know, I had a chance to get out to the golf course this past week.
Yeah?
And I was telling you before the show, I actually hit some decent shots.
There you go. It always gets good in around August.
Yeah.
And then you know. Oh, yeah, it's, next spring it'll be all, it'll be teaching yourself again all over again.
All right, so well, you know, we got a year ago, you remember how frustrated I was?
Yeah.
I was like, I'm done with the sport.
Right.
I was ready to walk off, get my clubs to my son in San Francisco.
Right.
But just like the Lions, we come back every year. That's right.
Or gluttons for punishment.
We're glutton for punishment. Have you played any golf this year?
Yes, I have.
Yeah?
Yes.
How have you done?
I've done reasonably well in a scramble, and then I played by myself, and I was like, I always played with a group of people that I was in a league, and we had a good time. I had some good ones and bad ones, you know, enough good ones to bring me back out next time. So,
yeah. All right. Well, you know what? We're having that conversation, a fun conversation, because we know in less than a month it's going to be back to school. And Memorial Labor Day, check me. Labor Day is right around the corner. So get out and enjoy the great state of Michigan. Yes, this is pure Michigan. Enjoy our great city. There's so much that's happening in Detroit right now. If you're here from across the country, welcome to the D. Or as I like to say, just Detroit. Everybody's got these classy, you know, cachet names for us. It's a welcome to Detroit. But there's another great American city right up the road from us getting a lot of attention, and that being the great city of Flint, Michigan. And what we're going to do is spend a little bit of time unpacking what's happening in Flint in terms of entrepreneurship and what's happening in the city of Flint. So for example, there's been about $250 million in new investments and more coming each day in Flint. So I'm so pleased to welcome a young man, Mr. Brian Glowiak. And he used to work for Chrysler Corporation for more than three decades, and he served in various executive capacities. He was also the vice president of the Chrysler Foundation and its successor nonprofit entities for several years as well. But right now, he recently took an opportunity over in Flint. We're going to let him talk about that, and we're going to continue to talk about what's happening in Flint, and we're going to hone in on the entrepreneurial space. Brian, good morning. Thanks for joining me.
Good morning, Mark. It's great to be here with you.
So good to have you. So give us a little bit of background, a little bit further background about yourself, and then the organization that you're with, and give us an overview of the organization as well.
Sure, glad to. So you indicated I spent a very extensive and rewarding career at Fiat Chrysler Automobiles, more than 35 years there. In those capacities, serving as the head of the philanthropic arm and the head of state and local government relations, and also an attorney, gave me a lot of opportunities to work both in the public and private sector with NGOs and in local communities throughout the country. So today I have the privilege of leading a nonprofit based in Flint that really has a focus on community development and creating economic opportunities for both individuals and businesses.
Mm-hmm. What's the name of the organization?
Metro Community Development.
Metro Community Development. And, you know, as we think about Flint, obviously, it's been in the news for various reasons, but I want to ask you, what attracted you from going from Chrysler to this new opportunity? Was it a part of a transitional plan, or it was just time for you to make a difference?
Well, actually, it was eligibility for retirement.
Got
so, and I just wasn't ready to play golf on a full-time basis. So this opportunity arose in Flint, and much like Chrysler was the comeback company for many years and highly successful, you look at Flint as an opportunity for a comeback city. You mentioned the $250 million in new investments. It really is a city on the cusp of transformation.
Mm-hmm. So a lot of people... Flint is it's like a Detroit, and what I mean by that is Detroit is certainly reimagining itself, and there's a lot of economic development stimulation that's coming into the city, and was built by the automotive industry, and now we see the fact that Detroit has a major entrepreneurial presence, and I've shared this story before. I've written about it in Crayons Detroit. I've talked about all my other things I do here in Detroit, but we have 62,000 businesses in the city of Detroit. And I like to tell the story, which makes us the fourth largest city in the country, according to the U.S. Census data, 2012. I like to tell the story of each one of those businesses employs one to three people. You're talking 60 to 180, nearly 200,000 jobs in the city of Detroit. So I started this conversation by saying there's a lot of similarity between Detroit and Flint. And Flint has a very ecosystem, the entrepreneurial ecosystem is growing and getting stronger. Share with us what's happening in Flint on the entrepreneurial side.
Well, we're seeing it in so many different realms, in terms of the retail segment, the entertainment segment downtown, and a resurgence in manufacturing, too, coming into the city, most notably with Lear Corporation building that new facility. And this is a role that is so perfect for Metro Community Development, the organization I lead. You know, our commitment, our mission in life really is focused on revitalizing and strengthening communities and again, you know, promoting small business development. And so we actually do that through several different methods. One is by creating and preserving affordable housing, very important to revitalizing a community. Secondly, is promoting home ownership. We do that by education and counseling and providing financial assistance to first-time homebuyers. Mm-hmm. Last year, our organization was responsible for actually providing both financial literacy and homebuyer education counseling to more than 400 households. Mm. But really, what's germane to this morning's conversation is economic development and small business development. And that's where we play a leading role in terms of providing creative capital solutions for individuals and startup businesses that really don't have access to loans from traditional financial institutions. So we're an organization that, you know, has many different tools in our toolkit. So we're a CDFI, a community development financial institution.
Explain that. Yes, thank you.
So which CDFI is really are chartered to promote and serve underserved communities by, you know, promoting small business development and job creation. We're also unique in that we're a member of the Federal Home Loan Bank. We're actually lenders approved by the Small Business Administration. And we partner with the Michigan Economic Development Corporation, as well as local banks, to provide the funds that we can leverage for small business development. You know, when we're talking about statistics, like in Detroit, from a macro level, there's something like 28 million small businesses in this country.
That's right.
And I believe it makes up 99.7% of all businesses. Now, those are startling numbers, but the other thing that's startling is all businesses are not positioned for success, startups, as I speak of. We look at trends, and roughly one-third of new businesses don't survive 2 years, and approximately one-half of new startups don't live beyond the fifth year. So what's critical to their survival is really their capital formation and the technical assistance. And that's the role. Those are two of the roles that we play, you know, very paramount with. We're very proud that we led a collaboration with the Small Business Development Center, with Kettering University, mm-hmm. with also the University of Michigan at Flint, and Fifth Third Bank, in creating this entrepreneur program called BizBox, B-I-Z-B-O-X. BizBox really provides 360 degrees of wraparound services for startup businesses. You know, working with an entrepreneur to create that marketing plan, to create that strategic business plan, mm-hmm. To work with them to identify the vendors, you know, that will be important to their thriving business, and also to get access to capital. Last year, we actually worked with 34 businesses, startups, coming through our BizBox program. Three of them we're currently funding.
You know, you made a good point about the number of, small businesses account for X percent of all the businesses in the U.S. There's another stat that indicates that 60 to 70% of the net new jobs created in our country are through small businesses. It's over a 10-year period, according to, again, the U.S. Census data. Now, let me put that in perspective for why that's important as well. A lot of times in Detroit and Flint, of course, we think of the manufacturing opportunities. I mean, Detroit, we created the automotive industry. You worked for one of the big three back in the day. I mean, we all, my parents, I'm from a Ford family. You know, everybody in my neighborhood in Northwest Detroit were from one of the big three. But so we think that the big companies are creating the jobs. They are. But let's understand that the true economic backbone, economic generators, and job creators are within entrepreneurs and small businesses, which is why what you're doing in Flint with the Metro Community Development, right, Corporation,
that's correct.
Which is why it makes it that much more important, because Flint is also, just like Detroit, and I want to hone in on Flint, and I apologize for referencing Detroit so much, but it's reimagining itself, and entrepreneurs are going to make a big difference on a go-forward basis in that city.
Mark, you're entirely spot on, and there is truly a spirit of entrepreneurship in the city of Flint today. And how do we help them? I mentioned we're a Small Business Administration lender. So we actually have two products that can help, you know, that seed startup funding for businesses. As an SBA lender, we have access to microloans, so $5,000 to $50,000 over a five-year term. That can help businesses with anything from acquisition of their real estate and rehab, from furniture and fixtures, equipment, inventory, working capital. Now, for larger businesses, startups, as well as growing businesses, we can offer something called community advantage loans through the SBA. And those range up to $250,000 for a term of 10 years for working capital, 25 years for fixed assets. So we have the portfolio and the funding sources to really help, and most importantly, that technical assistance to help businesses thrive and survive.
You know, and the other nice thing you have going over there in Flint, too, you have a wonderful university system, with the various, I think, University of Michigan, Flint, and with Kettering and the other university, not too far from Michigan State. I bring that up because it's important as entrepreneurs, as business people, that there's a very strong connection between the city and a built-in base with the university structure. And I'm sure they play a major role, too, in helping to get those businesses to the next level.
They do. A vital role. And I mentioned with our BizBox program, it could not be successful without the help from the SBDC at Kettering, as well as the University of Michigan Flint. So two key, very key partners with us.
So we just have just under a couple of minutes remaining together for this. And I'm going to keep you on for the next segment because I want to continue to unpack, because Flint is very important. We heard him mention in the presidential debates released recently in Detroit. It's been in the news a lot, significantly a lot, in terms of what's happening over there or what's happening in Flint. Is there an appetite? Do you find more people in Flint right now wanting to, get into the entrepreneurial space?
Absolutely. Whether it's in fashion, whether it's in retail, again, services, et cetera, it's actually inspiring, to see individuals of any age group come in saying, I have a spark of an idea.
Yeah.
And then to work with them, to be able to help them develop that idea, nurture it into an actual competitive business plan, and then to see that idea come to concept and reality.
It is so cool to see how your face just lights up, and you can see the passion that you have. I mean, your background is similar to mine. I worked in corporate for a long time, and then I've had my own business for the last 10 or 11 years since January of 08, in the height of the recession when I started my business. But what I want to do, Brian, if possible, are you able to hang around for another segment to join us to continue the conversation?
Absolutely. I'd love to.
Because I think this conversation is important. Yes, we have a tendency of honing in on Detroit, southeastern Michigan, because we're headquartered here in Detroit. But again, another iconic city. And I want to make sure we get the messaging out about what's happening in Flint, Michigan. And we're going to continue the conversation after this commercial break, because you're going to be amazed at the impact they're having in terms of the entrepreneurial ecosystem. So hang tight. We'll be right back on Small Talk with Mark Esley right after this commercial break. Good morning. Welcome back to Small Talk with Mark Esley. I hope you're sitting back and relaxing and enjoying a nice hot cup of coffee and the conversation that we're having here. Yes, I'm feeling pretty good just because I just love this time of the year. And I love it because the weather's nice and it's, our spirits are uplifted and things like that. And also because my beloveds, I know it's exhibition, just started this past Thursday. And I don't expect a whole lot. I never do anymore. Just the fact that we get to watch a little bit of football. All right, with all that said, and by the way, I know the Big Blue is starting, the University of Michigan, and I know the Green and White starting. That's right, Eastern Michigan University. Uh-oh, dog. He's going to jump down my throat.
No, I just like your color of your shirt. So.
All right. Oh. We've got some great institutions, so we know that the University of Michigan is starting very soon. Michigan State University is starting soon. And the original Green and White, my alma mater, Eastern Michigan, Northwestern University, where I went, they're all coming down the pike. So this is going to be a great time of the year. All right, speaking of which, I'd like to give my shout-outs. And we're going to continue the conversation with our friends from Flint, Michigan. But this segment is, in fact, brought to you by Michigan.com. You might be sitting here in Detroit and listening on AM 1270 each and every single week. We appreciate you. We want you to sit back. You might be reading your free press or your local your mobile technology. Just sit back and enjoy the conversation. Or you might be listening across the country with one of our many .coms. Yes, we have grown. WWJNewsRadio.com, Radio.com, LeeGroupInnovation.com, SoundCloud.com, and last and not least, certainly TheHubDetroit.com. So just sit back and relax and enjoy your local newspaper across the country with our very next special guest, who's still here from our previous segment, Mr. Brian will we at. Brian, thanks for hanging around with me.
My pleasure, Mark. Thank you.
Good. I think this conversation, as I mentioned before the break, is very important because we're talking about a great American city, another great city here in the state of Michigan, Flint, Michigan. Let's continue down this path about the entrepreneurial point, the conversation we were having. Let's get a little bit more specific as it relates to data. And talk about the impact that you're having in the city. And I know that you've offered loans to businesses in Flint. Kind of take us down that path and unpack it a little bit.
Sure. For a quick synopsis over the past 3 years, going back to 2016, Metro actually financed 16 loans with new businesses totaling about $1.4 million. In 2017, no coincidence, I guess, we issued another 16 loans. The portfolio was down to about $750,000, but we captured a metric point of the fact that those 16 loans actually were responsible for creating 58 new jobs. So when we look at the most recent year, last year, we actually closed 19 loans, and our total portfolio was about $1.5 million. Now, what I'd really like to share is the fact that the average loan, and again, these loans can range from $5,000 to $250,000, but the straight median or average was $86,000. Now, when we look at a profile of the clients we're serving, we financed 6 new startups, cumulative financing of $320,000. We financed 9 women-owned businesses with $650,000, and we financed 11 Flint-based businesses with $942,000. Overall, those loans were responsible for creating 18 new jobs and retaining 58 existing positions. So it's a terrific impact that we're making in the community.
Absolutely. And you talk about the average loan size of $80,000 approximately, I believe, right?
Yes.
In that range. Talk to us about how, obviously we don't want to know the proprietary information, but from a business standpoint, people listening this morning and saying, okay, so if I got a loan for $80,000 on average, how are they using those resources to support their business?
It actually can, again, it can be for leasing a facility to house the business. It can be their working capital. It can be inventory, machinery, furniture, et cetera. So it's the fact that any new startup business has to have financing to be successful, you know, until that business is able to turn a profit. So this is the critical seed funding, you know, that can aid a business in actually going from a concept to reality.
We are talking to Brian Glowiak, and he is the CEO of Metro Community Development, which is a Flint nonprofit agency focused on advancing economic development, creating access to affordable housing, and promoting home ownership for low and moderate income families. As we think about the seed money, what is the process for people? Is it just like going to a bank, you fill out an application? What is the process to somehow get access to that seed money? What do businesses have to do?
Well, we're meeting with individuals first, and, you know, there has to be a bona fide, you know, business plan. So the actual thoughts behind, you know, the what the business will look like, what its objective is, et cetera, you know, everything from marketing to, you know, how will this business, you know, have, you know, basically a budget and, you know, projections going forward for the next 2 years. So, you know, we're the alternative, you know, financing. I mentioned earlier, you know, we provide capital to individuals and businesses that cannot access, maybe because of credit scores, maybe because of collateral requirements, you know, that the traditional financial institutions will require. And we're able to do that, quite frankly, because we have this relationship with the Small Business Administration, which provides various guarantee levels against these loans that helps minimize the risk.
And that was going to be my question. Excuse me. Are the businesses in Flint, from your standpoint, are they business ready? Right, when it comes to requesting that seed money. And so, for example, let me kind of unpack that. I do a lot of public speaking here in Detroit. A lot of times I walk off the stage, people, I invariably will get one or two individuals who will come up to me and say, Mark, you know, I love what you said. I have a business idea, and I want to run it past you, which my immediate reaction is I don't offer free advice anymore. But then I'll say, well, what is your idea? And then the next thing they'll say is, what do I have to do to get the money? And I always come back and say, well, do you have a business plan? And you know what the answer is? Generally speaking, is no. And that individual is not really ready to request the type of funding because he or she does not have a business plan. So let's kind of take that example over to Flint. Are the businesses over there generally somewhat ready, or are they improving? Is it improving the same?
What Mark, we see kind of the full scope of I have an idea, have no plan, have no concept of where I'm going to go with it, to individuals that have really well thought out this process. It's more than an idea. It's actually a fully flushed, you know, development plan, business plan. But for those that are in those gray areas, again, we have that entrepreneur program called BizBox. And that's, you know, over a series of months and very intense training will help entrepreneurs figure out the way of creating that marketing plan, creating that sustainable business plan.
And let's unpack it even further and talk about the home ownership piece, because the agency is focused on the home ownership as well in terms of creating access to affordable housing. As the reinvestments come back into our cities, the values could increase. Home values could increase. We're seeing it right here, of course, in Metro Detroit. So how are you offering or providing access to affordable housing?
Well, a couple of ways. We do have, you know, one housing development that we've had for several years for low and moderate income homeowners, renters, actually. We're also on the verge of acquiring another development. And we do have plans for new development in the city of Flint in terms of mixed housing, mixed income. But in addition, we have opportunities for acquisition and rehab programs, you know, within the city. The city has a huge housing stock. There's something like 20,000 units that are owned by the land bank. Mm. So we're flush with opportunities. What's unique about our abilities, I hadn't mentioned earlier, is we have this fourth dimension of a program called Youth Build, Flint Youth Build. That program actually takes high school dropouts within the ages of 16 to 24, and we work with these youth in terms of attaining their GEDs and then giving them the preliminary skills in building construction. So with perfect synergies, being able to provide the workplace skills, you know, for these students in construction under the supervision of skilled, you know, craftspeople, we're looking at actually, you know, starting an acquisition and rehab program because the margins are so thin to rehab these homes and still make them affordable. So we have a huge opportunity to transform the housing stock through this program. And the other ways that we're going to be doing it is very soon we'll be expanding our operations to actually originate and sell mortgages. So it's the perfect full circle. If you think that we're actually counseling people in home buyer education, we're providing that financial literacy training for them. Mm-hmm. The next step is for them to be able to participate in that American dream, to build personal wealth through home ownership.
And as we talk about Flint, we started in the previous segment, Flint has about $250 million in new investments, and more are coming each and every single day. So you know, as you think about our revitalizing our great state of Michigan, as well as our metropolitan areas across, across the state of Michigan, we have to look at all of our cities. And here's an example of a city that's been under the spotlight for, we know the obvious reasons they have been under the spotlight, but we're not going there today. We're talking exclusively about business. Here's a city that's attracting investment, attracting new entrepreneurs, attracting new people, and that's what it's going to take to get our pure Michigan, as we know from an advertising campaign, to the next level from a business standpoint as well.
Mark, I can sum it up in one way. It's an exciting time to be in Flint.
You know, I do want to give, by the way, before I forget, kudos to Jackie Berg. Jackie was responsible for certainly helping us to get Brian in here, and her vision was, Mark, she says, you know, your show's in perfect alignment with what's happening in Flint, and we think it's a perfect tool to help to share that story. You know, and as I'm listening to this conversation, so Jackie, I want to give you kudos. She's absolutely spot on, because the challenges that you're experiencing over in Flint is exactly what we're experiencing over here. And it's almost like, which leads me to my question, has there been any type of integration or affiliation or connectivity between Detroit and Flint?
Well, in our role in Metro Community Development, our footprint is very much focused in Genesee and in Oakland County.
Okay.
I welcome opportunities, though, to make those connections going forward.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, as we continue to expand the footprint in the entrepreneurial space, just maybe a thought. I have no idea. You're running the agency. As you think, we have a couple minutes remaining, a little bit less than a couple minutes. As you think about the future of metro community development, what would you like to see the agency go under your leadership?
Well, I'd like to see the organization grow. Our ability to expand our loan portfolio to be able to leverage these funds, both under the home ownership programs as well as small business development. Flint will always be our home, and in terms of the focus in Genesee County as well. But we have the capacity, and I'm looking forward to growing that capacity to go beyond those boundaries as well.
Well, I'll give you 30 seconds to say whatever you want to say in closing to sum everything up, including a website.
Well, let's just go right to it. For those entrepreneurs and growing businesses that would like to seek out the technical assistance and the financial fundings that we have the ability to provide, call us at 810-767-4622, or you can contact our BizBox program at BizBox@metroflint.org.
And in closing, you worked in a big corporation for a long time, and you're now working for an agency, an organization, a nonprofit. Has it been fun?
It's always fun, Mark. Yeah. You know, whether it's, you know, drinking through a fire hose every day or solving whatever crisis, it's what gets all of us up, you know, and energized every morning.
Thank you, Brian. I want to thank you very much for coming in and sharing with us what's happening in Flint, Michigan. We wish you continued success in your role as you continue to grow and help the businesses in the great city of Flint.
Mark, thank you for this opportunity.
My pleasure. There'll be more guests, and as we talk about dynamic people, we have two dynamic people shaking up the healthcare industry here in Detroit. We'll be right back after this commercial break on Small Talk with Mark Esley. And this segment, in fact, was brought to you by Michigan.com. Good morning. Welcome back to Small Talk with Mark Esley. I hope you're sitting back and enjoying the conversation. What a great conversation. I got to tell you, it's really just, it's so cool to hear everything that's happening, not just in our great city of Detroit, but also over in Flint. And, you know, one of the things about our city is that this city has been a city of innovators. Henry Ford, we created the stoplight, the first expressway with the Davison Freeway. We had the first mall in the country with Northland Mall. I go on and on. But my point is, and all these businesses were started by entrepreneurs. And to hear and see what's happening in the great city of Flint, that is so cool to see, because now I have two very special people who are really doing some great things here in Southwest Detroit when it comes to the healthcare space. So my first guest, and I'm going to have him introduce our second special guest. He is no stranger to Small Talk with Mark Esley, Dr. Paul Thomas. And he's with Plum Health, DPC. DPC stands for Direct Primary Care Practice in Southwest Detroit. Dr. Thomas, good morning. Paul, thanks for joining me.
Thank you so much, and thanks for allowing me to bring Dr. Orlick on. She's an osteopathic physician who just joined our practice July 1st.
Raquel, congratulations and welcome.
Thank you. I'm really happy to be here. This is exciting.
It is exciting because I saw the article in the paper this past week. Thank you for sharing that with me.
Oh, you're welcome.
But why don't you provide us, Paul, with an update in terms of what's going on? You've been on the show several times now, mm-hmm. and, you know, you're continuing to grow. You're getting a lot of exposure now. What are some of the key headlines since the last time we've gotten together?
Yeah, direct primary care, this practice model that we use, is a membership model for healthcare. People pay about $50 a month for adults or $10 a month for kids to be a part of our practice. And we've seen tremendous growth in this model because health insurance has just gotten so unacceptably unaffordable for folks and families and small businesses. And so we've seen our membership grow. We've gotten over 500 members, and this movement has grown across the country, and there are more and more practices. So when I first started doing direct primary care about 3 years ago, 2.5 years ago, there were about 400 practices across the country. Mm-hmm. Now there's over 1,000, there's like 1,200 doctors across the country practicing in this direct care model. People want this because they want a personal relationship with their doctor. They want to know how much their medical costs are going to be. They want to have a discount on their meds, labs, and imaging services. And we provide that at Plum Health. And we're happy to deliver that in Detroit and beyond.
And Raquel, you are a graduate of the graduate level at Michigan State University?
Yes.
Okay. And then you talk to us about, you know, What attracted you to Dr. Thomas's practice? Why did you? How did you guys connect? And what attracted you to his practice?
Yeah, so it's actually a pretty funny story. Some of our best friends, they live in Corktown, and they started seeing Dr. Paul as their primary care doctor. They didn't really have sufficient insurance plans, so they did start seeing Dr. Paul, and you know, on a lazy Saturday, I started talking to them about my interests and just an alternative type of models of primary care. I was finishing up my training with my family medicine residency, and so they started talking about Dr. Paul and pretty much raved on just how incredible the practice was, mm-hmm. that one-on-one interaction they had with Dr. Paul, that availability to have him just a call away, a text away. Whenever they had any type of concerns, they could easily get in the same day or next day. And then especially the costs, just how much they were saving for a lot of their medical services. So from there, I just contacted Dr. Paul. I just wanted to pick his brain, just to understand how is he was able to launch this practice on his own. And we started realizing that we had a lot of similar goals in mind. So started talking a little more seriously. And then I would say midway through my last year of residency, I just accepted the job with him. And then we didn't look back from there.
We haven't looked back, and you are a board certified in family medicine. And what are you focusing on as part of the practice? What are your areas of specialty?
Yeah, so as a family medicine doctor, I see, you know, right from the get-go, someone who's 1 month old to geriatric age, so 100 years old and above. But I do have some special interests. Mm-hmm. My special interests are women's health, preventative medicine, so whatever we can do as far as lifestyle change is concerned. And then since I was trained as an osteopathic physician, I do have a special passion for osteopathic manipulative therapy as well.
It's outstanding. And Paul, back over to you. I should say Dr. Paul. I'm so used to calling you Paul or Dr. Thomas.
My patients call me Dr. Paul or Paul.
Really, I know that's right. That's and he was kind enough to mention me in his book. He wrote a book, Paul, Doak, and mentioned a small talk of Mark Esley as part of his
book.
Hey, man,
that's
awesome. You helped us grow, so we appreciate it.
That was humbling. Let's talk about growth. You just passed a wonderful number. What number did you just pass in terms of members?
Yeah, we have over 500 members now, which is amazing. For me, I've reached my capacity, and that's why I needed to bring in a second doctor on. I saw this day coming, you know, a year ago, and it was such a blessing to meet Dr. Raquel and have her have the same interest as I have in wanting to deliver this affordable, accessible care in Detroit. So now we're going to help her grow with her 500 patients, and then grow from there.
I remember that conversation. I remember when you talked about wanting to grow, and you want to get to that 500 number or X number. And I remember you mentioning back then that you wanted to bring on another physician. That is outstanding. And because of your growth, before I come back over to Dr. Raquel, you're moving into a legendary space.
Oh my goodness.
The corner. What are those combined corners here in Detroit? We all know what it is.
Yeah, Michigan and Trumbull.
I wonder what that is.
Yeah, it used to be the site of Tiger Stadium. Yeah. Everyone knows that. It's just such a legendary place to be. And we had this opportunity where we were looking for space, and it's hard to build a medical office in Detroit, especially if you're trying to retrofit to go through concrete and build sinks. It's very expensive. So we had a new build coming up at Michigan and Trumbull, and we're so excited to be on the legendary site of, you know, where Ty Cobb played, where Babe Ruth played, and have an opportunity to see patients and take care of the community in that spot. It's just going to be amazing.
How long before you open that particular space?
It should be about another month. Sometime in September, we should be moving in. You know, if construction goes perfectly, you know, from here. So
I've seen under condos and apartments.
Exactly. It's that four-story building that's on the corner. of Michigan and Trumbull. There's three floors of apartments on floor 2 through 4. Mm-hmm. And on the ground level is going to be retail and our medical office.
We are talking to Dr. Paul Thomas and Dr. Raquel Orlick, and they are with the Plum Health, DPC, which is right now headquartered in Southwest Detroit, a direct primary care practice. And Dr. Raquel, as you thought about, you did your residency at Ascension Macomb Oakland Hospital. Give us your thoughts about going back and working in the city. You know, you got your residency out of the suburban area, and talk about reengaging, if you will, for lack of a better phrase, into Detroit. Why was that important to you?
So where I did my residency, I was out in Warren, Michigan, Madison Heights. We, at our residency program, we did work with a lot of patients who were in an underserved area, but there was definitely more of a need in Detroit, Michigan. And so when I was looking for what would be the best, the best type of office setting for me, I really wanted to be able to have an opportunity to give back. Mm-hmm. I always really had a passion for volunteering whenever I had an opportunity to. But a big thing was really trying to build those really strong relationships with patients. And luckily, when you're a resident, you have that time. And I really, really was passionate about that. And my biggest concern when I went out into practice was I going to be able to have enough time to really understand my patient, to really get to know them and be accessible to them as well.
Yeah.
And being able to be accessible to our patients and being able to provide these low-cost services for them has been a really incredible experience so far. Mm-hmm. So I don't take that for granted at all.
Well, we know that affordable health care is a challenge.
Yeah.
In a city like Detroit and the metropolitan area, Detroit, Chicago, any big city for that matter, any city, that's always a challenge. And Paul, you certainly have identified that need. And,
totally.
And through your practice, you're beginning to fill that void that we currently have.
Yeah, and it's really amazing. Like, we have a gentleman who just signed up for a practice, and he hasn't been able to see a doctor in 5 years. Because he hasn't had health insurance, or we have other folks who are underinsured. They have some sort of health insurance plan, but their deductible is $7,000.
Mm-hmm.
So they're scared to go to the doctor to even engage in primary care services because they don't know how much it's going to cost them. So we've really found a lot of folks like that who are uninsured or underinsured who are really benefiting from knowing the cost of their care and having low costs. Meds, labs, and imaging services.
You know, Doug, and it's amazing.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's awesome.
It is awesome because, and here's the other part I like about this. These are next generation Detroiters.
Yep.
And I'm talking about younger Detroiters, and I say that very respectfully,
yep.
who have become reengaged in the city. And it just shows that our future is in good hands.
Yes, it is.
You know,
yes,
and I hear this business model, and this team here is shaking up the healthcare industry here in Detroit, and they're becoming a model for the rest of the country.
That's awesome.
It is awesome.
No, it's nice to be in the same room with them and look at them in the face and just say, wow, this is something that I couldn't have thought of. And I Dr. Paul and Raquel, I just it's a great thing.
You know, Raquel, when you hear Doug and I talk like this, how does that make you feel?
I just feel really lucky to be here. When I had started as a resident, I really never dreamt of being in this type of position, but I feel so lucky to be a part of this movement.
Yeah, and we brought Wayne State University and Michigan State University together. Is that right?
That's right.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. and so we have a little bit less than a minute to go or so. I want to give you both an opportunity, 15, 20 seconds each, just whatever you want to say in closing, and then Paul, come back to us with a location and certainly the website.
Sure. I mean, if you're looking for this type of care, it's something that we really feel passionate about. We really want to help people who have been left out by the traditional insurance-based system and provide a necessary service for people in our community because, frankly, this is a type of care that I would want for my family members, for my friends, for my community members, and I'm really happy to be able to have the opportunity to provide it in Detroit and beyond.
Dr. Raquel?
I couldn't have said it better than Dr. Paul, but I'm just excited to meet a lot of the local Detroiters. I'm here with open ears and ready to hear about what's going on, and I just want to be able to help the community as much as possible.
And the website is?
We're at plumhealthdpc.com, and that DPC is for direct primary care.
And before you move, what is the current address?
We're currently at 1759 21st Street, Detroit, Michigan.
And you'll be moving to the corner, which is located at Michigan and Trumbull.
Yep, 1620 Michigan Avenue.
Dr. Paul and Dr. Raquel, thank you very much for coming in. Thank you for sharing that with us.
Oh, you're welcome. Thanks so much for having us on.
Absolutely. Have a great day. All right, okay, man. It's going to be a beautiful day. You go out and make it a great one.
I will do that, my friend. Yeah. I'll do that.
I'm going to do the same thing. And we want you all to go out and make it a great day, make it a great week, and we will check you out next week on Small Talk with Marques Lee.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.